for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Hello, Dreamworkers. Welcome to Dreamwork. I am Colin Delaney, as always. Soon I will be joined by my tag team partner. His name is Cheech, and this is Dreamwork. It's a special Monday edition of Dreamwork. I'm trying to get things back on a normal day, but with our current lives and schedules, it's kind of tough. So we kind of get it out when we can get it out. We record when we can record, and we are doing our best. And this week, we have a very fun team. Last week, we said we weren't going to do a team off WWE's Top 50, and we are men of our word. So we did not do a team off that list. We did a kind of wacky one. We did Hayabusa and Jinsei Shinzaki, whom I refer to as Hakushi numerous times because that's how I know him. And also as men of our words, both me and Cheech. So we recorded this on Thursday, and then we wrestled on Saturday at ESW, and just as we discussed in the beginning of this podcast, we both did Jinsei Shinzaki Hakushi rope walks in honor of all of the matches we watched this week. So, yep, it's a Monday, we're putting one out, and yeah, hopefully you guys enjoy it. So, screw it. This is probably the worst intro I've ever done, but I'm already here. I've already come this far. I can't go back. It's Hayabusa. It's Jinsei Shinzaki. This is DreamWork. Yeah.
Yo. Let's do it.
This was an interesting one. I will be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I instantly, as I started watching the matches, I thought of what we always talk about how our next match is, you know, you'll definitely see elements of the team that we watched because we just watched so much of it. And I was like, man, this weekend is going to be weird.
I was thinking the same thing.
So, yeah, we are talking about the team of Hayabusa, and I am going to call him Hakushi probably for the entire
or, as he's technically called when he's in Japan, Jinsei Shinzaki.
Jinsei Shinzaki. Man, I am, as we've discussed numerous times on this podcast, me and Japanese names are just, I try. But once again, from years of watching it but not actually hearing it pronounced, so many names I'm supposed to say them by how it looks.
Nope, I understand, and then I always rebut with that I'm super duper proper and need to know exactly how I don't know, is it grammar for how you say it? You know, I'm one of those, I don't want to say grammar Nazi, but you know, like, yeah, I'm a zealot about making sure things are pronounced correctly.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I'm with it. I would try, but some of these I'll get.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just my brain. It's just one of those things that always itch my brain. Especially, I remember as a kid, I remember one of the first tapes I bought online, VHS tapes, people, VHS, was Best of Hayabusa Volume 2. So I was definitely watching that and rewinding, going, wait, how do they say his name? Okay, Jinsei Shinzaki. Okay, I got it.
Wow. Hayabusa, you were a big Hayabusa guy growing up?
Are you kidding me? I have all of them. I have $100+ High Spots professionally made Hayabusa mask somewhere at my parents' house. I was a huge Hayabusa fan. We'll get into it later, but I came to realize why.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So I wasn't. I liked him when I saw him when he was in things. You know, but he was like kind of along the Sabu lines to me, where I liked him, but he wasn't really necessarily my favorite. He wasn't like my thing.
Oh, he was my thing for a few years there.
I love it. So, okay, preliminary thoughts. You were we made a late call on this team, and it was a good late call because there really isn't. I mean, you have VHS tapes, but the interwebs only has a couple few things to watch. So.
Yeah, so my preliminary thoughts were, because we were looking for a team late and quick to figure out, I had looked them up, and I, of course, I'm from that age range where you just thought they were the coolest for a couple of years there. Maybe that's just me. And it was funny because, you know, you think of them as like FMW team, but most of the stuff was from their All Japan run where they were in like the tag leagues and stuff. So I was like, ooh, I was intrigued by that. That was my preliminary thoughts because, you know, we're trying to pick something real quick. And I was like, oh, how many matches do they have? And I was like, oh, that's an odd mix. I didn't expect that.
My preliminary thought, we are short on time. And a Japanese team, typically all of those matches are going to be longer. But then when I looked it up, I was like, oh, there really aren't that many you can find. And holy crap, all of their opponents on here are incredible.
Exactly. They were right in that sweet spot of 97 and 99, and they got a lot of All Japan work. And yeah, so you got all those great guys from those years.
Holy crap. So yeah, so I was a little nervous going into it, but when I did a little looking and I was like, oh no, okay, we can do this. This is definitely manageable. And from watching the Van Damme Sabu match, back when we did Van Damme and Sabu, you know, I had a little bit of, I was ready. I remember enjoying that match way more than I thought I did.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I talk about, when I talk about being of that certain age, if you were an ECW fan in 98 and you saw them on Heatwave versus RVD and Sabu, you were instantly a fan. And yeah, you definitely like looked them up, and I assumed that's what it was. I think I saw them there and was like, I got to get tapes on this Hayabusa guy.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Hakushi from growing up. I grew up a WWF fan, so I remember Hakushi from early like Monday Night.
Oh, yeah, me as well. Of course, I remember Hakushi as well, but I remember just, like, Hayabusa just, like, jumped off the page to me.
Also, in my notes, when writing, I did write Hakushi almost every time.
Oh, I've gotten lazier. I'm just like, H and S.
Mine would have been H and H. I never would have figured it out. All right, no. Anyways, let's get to their championships and accomplishments.
Bring it on.
They are one-time All-Asia Tag Team Champions.
Yep, that's All Japan's belt.
That's it.
Yep.
I did look because I thought there was a chance they were on the PWI list because the PWI list was from like 03. So I was like, there's a chance that they made that list. They did not. There was no way they were making the Sports Illustrated list. The WWF list, I mean, clearly they're not on that. They didn't make runner-up or anything. I thought maybe there was a chance in, like, 97 spot for the PWI award, but they didn't.
No. But like we said, after last week and our discussion on the current incarnation of WWE's top 50 tag teams, we were disgusted to the point of we were going to pick a team that definitely wasn't on there, and this team definitely wasn't on there.
Definitely was not on there. So before we get into the matches that we watched, you probably know more than me. I tried to look up a little bit. So their run is pretty short and kind of scattered. Do you know anything about the formation of the team, the time off in the middle, or the separation of the team?
No.
Okay.
But I guess we'll kind of skip a little bit to what we'll discuss later, but it plays right here for this. I was a little thrown off because I, too, thought maybe they were a little more of a team. And I was like, because I had seen the All Japan stuff, and I was like, okay, they're in a tag tournament, so they're a team. But then when I watched the FMW stuff, I'm like, oh, they're really just like the two big top baby faces put together almost.
Yeah, so in looking at their cage match, it's kind of just like they were the two baby faces. They really only teamed a small hand, even in FMW, before their first appearance in All Japan.
Exactly. That was I thought, you know, they were more of a team, but then I saw a lot of the FMW stuff by nature in FMW was a lot of six mans. So they definitely had a lot of six mans together. But yeah, rarely did you get just a straight tag out of them there.
Right. Until the All Japan stuff. And then from what I gathered, All Japan stuff broke down when the working relationship stuff, naturally. Jinsei Shinsaki went back to Michinoku Pro, and that kind of is what broke the team up. But yeah, their cage match is very, very weird. Without the only match they ever wrestled in the States was that RVD Sabu match, and it's like one of three matches they wrestled together that entire year.
Exactly. Like I said, I thought it really just breaks down, because I think their whole run was 97 and 99 when I looked it up. And it's a little bit of FMW. And then the 98 and 99 stuff is mostly tag league stuff they did in All Japan. And tag league is not a full year thing. It's usually a tour or two.
Oh, my God. Did you happen to look at their cage match?
Yeah, I looked not like super intently. But what do you mean?
I mean, was like good shot footage of them against the New Black, pay an absorbent amount of money.
There probably is. I've heard that like fan cams are way more prevalent than people know, especially over there and stuff.
Dude, Bradshaw and Wyndham against Hayabusa and Jinsei Shinzaki sounds incredible.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem. When I breezed through their cage match, I was just trying to find like FMW stuff, and then I was trying to look at the name of the show, because there's a lot of like commercial tapes on YouTube of FMW stuff, but it was really hard to find. Well, it was hard to find when you're looking for something specific. Like, yes, there were a lot of FMW like old VHSs and DVDs and commercial releases, but it was hard to figure out which ones had certain matches.
Yeah, I mean, you can find on YouTube like the full year of 1997 All Japan television, but a lot of the matches that are on those All Japan TVs are the ones that you can find on YouTube.
Yeah, and those ones are usually clip the TV ones. Your chance more on the random YouTube who get a full match usually.
Right. So that leads us to what we watched.
All right, you go first.
No, you go first, because I can't say names.
Oh, okay. That works.
That way I can just say, yeah, I watched that one too.
I started off unknowingly hot with apparently their most snowflaked match of Hayabusa and Shinzaki versus Misao and Akiyama from All Japan in 97. Then I watched them versus Teban Honda and Jun Izumita from All Japan in 99. Then I watched them versus Masato Tanaka and Tetsuhiro Karuta from FMW in 99. That was the May one. Then I watched them versus Takayama and Omori, or Team No Fear, from All Japan in 99. Then I watched Kawada Tawe again. I don't know. I think I found like a crisper quality one, so I saw that again from All Japan in 97. Then I rewatched, and I'll explain with a completely different lens, the RVD Sabu match from Heat Wave. Then I watched a fan cam footage of Kobashi and Manukea Mossman in FMW. They did a two-night match thing, but one was in All Japan and one was in FMW. But that one, no, I could only watch a fan cam. But then I think there was later footage with better fan cams. Then I saw another FMW versus Masato Tanaka and Tetsuhiro Karuta from, that's a March of 99. And then there was a Ganosuke and Kanemura from FMW in December 97.
Okay, so we hit the same notes here, because that's really, I think the only one I watched that you didn't would be against Kobashi and Kentaro Shiga.
Yep. There was that one. That was the thing. A lot of these matches they had, since there's usually tag leagues, like I know there was a couple of versions of them versus Team No Fear. There was a couple of versions of them and I believe like Kawada. There's a couple of them with Honda and Izumita. So yeah, I don't know. We may have seen different ones, but yeah, those were pretty much the same teams.
I watched I started with the Kobashi and Shiga one, which I believe it's mid 97. It looked on Cage Match like it might have been their first All Japan match together. And then I went to the Holy Demon Army.
Yep.
Previously covered team on the podcast. Then I watched the Misawa Akiyama. Didn't know that it was their most snowflaked match, but from watching it, I can tell you that I believe it. Then I went to the Tanaka and Karuda match from May 99. Then I went to Takayama Omori, Team No Fear, from 99. Then Mr. Ganosuke and Yukihiro Kenimura from FMW 97. And then I did rewatch RVD and Sabu from Heatwave. I did put on the Kobashi Mossman one, but I could not. I can't watch fan cam stuff. It's tough for me.
It was tough for like the first 3 or 4 minutes. It did get way better.
I guess I should have hung with it. I thought about it, but I was like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, at the beginning, it's really whited out and you could barely tell who it is. But it was like, oh, luckily, all four of these guys have very defined silhouettes, which is a big thing about being stars is, you know, you could, even without really being able to tell who they are, you could tell who they are.
I just like that the one guy's name was Moss Man.
Oh, yeah, eventually, but then he changed it to Taiokea. And, okay, he made me a complete side tangent. As a big Samoan, and I watched him wrestle, I was like, he's proof that Joe would have done awesome in Japan.
As if there was...
Oh, I know. Here's the thing. Joe did fine on his own there, but, I mean, had he ever, like, homesteaded like Home Dude did, he probably would have, you know, he probably would have done better, honestly, because he's just more naturally charismatic. But I was, as I'm watching them, I was like, man, they got similar styles.
Yeah. I didn't get enough into it, but I was like, ooh, a guy named Moss Man, I'm in.
Oh yeah, no, I knew him. I knew him because he was. Look at me and my markiness. He was like a Hawaiian amateur superstar that like Baba knew or one of them knew from hanging out in Hawaii and brought him over, and he was just like an All Japan guy right from the get.
All Japan Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, basically.
Jeff Moss Man is what. He is what Jeff Cobb should be from here on out. Okay, so a lot to unpack about this team, because once again, but like I guess it makes sense. They were just the two big baby faces at the time, but like Jinsei Shinzaki was more like he was a Michinoku Pro guy. That's where his like background was, and I never considered him an FMW guy.
Okay, but maybe I'm wrong. The way I understood it was he was just super over in Michinoku Pro, and then FMW came around and needed, you know, over guys, and they just used him. Yeah, he started in Michinoku Pro, but he eventually became a big star in FMW.
Okay, yeah, I guess that makes sense. So, yeah, most of the matches I watched were All Japan matches, looking back. And actually, I realized that kind of most of the way through, because I think the first FMW match I even watched was the Masato Tanaka one from 99.
Yes.
Very interesting how in the All Japan matches that I'd watched, I was like, man, Jinsei Shinzaki really kind of carries the team. He's like, you know. Whatever. And then you get to an FMW match in 99 and you're like, holy crap, this Hayabusa is in his shit here.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very eye opening for both guys in different ways from watching all these.
Yeah, it was so interesting to, you know, because the first four matches I watched were All Japan. And increasingly, as I watched the match, I was like, man, Jinsei Shinzaki's good. And Hayabusa is good, but Shinzaki does things just like he builds up to his stuff better. He like, you know, he makes sure to like get his things in smarter spots. He's like, you know.
Oh no, yeah, you could tell he's a top guy.
Right. He just seemed more like seasoned and knew what he was doing and knew how to like get the best reactions out of everything. Whereas Hayabusa was just a nut. But then you watch him in FMW a little bit and you're like, oh, whoa, this dude, when home field advantage was real for this guy.
That's the thing. His style was just being nuts, which was 100% perfect for FMW. But when you go into very traditional All Japan, it's very odd. And like, he definitely got exposed as he's like, he tried to chain wrestle and like he was doing it, but you could tell it was not his strong suit.
Oh, and it was Masawa?
In any of the matches. And but like, I'll do it for you. Hakushi got in there and he could do anything with anybody. Like, he could wrestle around. Obviously, since he's doing, you know, the stoic Buddhist guy, it's a little different because he's naturally going to be slow and methodical, whereas Hayabusa is naturally a nut.
Did you watch the Kentaro Shiga and Kobashi match from September?
Nope.
So it was the first match I watched, and what I thought was so weird, because like I said, I always cage match it, and I was like, it looks like it's their first time here in All Japan. Hayabusa gets in there with Shiga first and kind of like, you know, does his typical Hayabusa open where he clowns the dude and does some nip ups. And every time he does it, he stares at the corner at Kobashi and they're like making it a thing till Kobashi finally gets in and they go at it. And I was like, man, that totally feels like a Hakushi thing to do. You know, Hakushi feels like the big bad on the team, but Hayabusa plays that role in this match. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I got the impression he thought he would come in there and still be super duper. And then I think being on a tour like those tag leagues, he probably learned pretty quick, was like, oh, maybe Hakushi really is great. And I'm, you know, maybe I got to do a little catching up to do.
Yeah, yeah. And that was early. And then the next one I watched was the Kawada and Tawe, and then the Masawa Akiyama. And like, not for nothing, they get a lot better real fast, because that's September 97, and those two matches are November 97. And they are way better as a team come November 97.
Well, I think it has to do with, you know, who they're in the ring with.
That's true. I mean, Kobashi was in the ring in 97, in the first one, though.
Yeah, but Kentaro Shiga is no Akiyama. He's no Team No Fear. He's no either of the Miracle Violence Connection. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not that. I mean the Holy Demon Army. He's neither one of them. You know what I mean? Now, my question I would like to get into, because I'm always personally bitter against these things, which match do you, since we watched pretty much the same matches, which do you think was their best one?
Masawa Akiyama.
Oh, come on!
Where are you going with it?
I don't know. I think, yeah, it was good, but I think it has the Masawa dust on it that, oh, Masawa's in it, so it automatically gets two, and it automatically gets a half a snowflake more. Because I thought, what were the ones I liked? I liked the Team No Fear one, where, I don't know if you saw the one I did, it was the 6-4-99 one, where they dropped the belts to Team No Fear.
Yeah. Yep.
I thought that one was great, except I thought it was great, but it got gluttonous in the middle, but that was pretty much the All Japan style. What was the other really good one? It was that one. And then I think it was the Kawada Tawe one. I feel like these ones were funner. So I think they edged it out, but I'm like, oh, Masawa's in it, so of course he gets more snowflakes.
So here's, that's interesting, because if I was going to pick a second, Masato Tanaka Karuta match kind of rules.
Oh, did you like those? I'm sorry. I was never a Karuta guy.
I don't even know who Karuda is. I just enjoyed the match. Tanaka and Hayabusa have great chemistry, and Hayabusa just seems so much more in his element. And after seeing him for so many matches, it seemed to like be good, but not as in his shit. To see him in his shit, I think it upped it a level for me.
Okay. See, by my issue, by the time I got to the FMW matches, I was like, all he does is just get eaten alive. And I was like, oh, the story of the FMW matches is we're going to take out Shinzaki and then we're going to eat Hayabusa alive. And I'm just like, ah. And they weren't All Japan guys. And I don't know, they were using like tables and nonsense. And I was just like, oh my gosh. It felt, honestly, some of the ass whoopings Hayabusa took, I was like, yo, no wonder Home Dude ended up in a wheelchair. Like, yes, we all know why I was from that bad lion salt, but I was like, man, he took so, and those rings look so stiff, dear God.
And, I mean, so I get what you're saying about the Misawa match, but both Hakushi and Hayabusa busted out the big shit. It's the only match I remember where fucking Hakushi throws the Sasuke special.
Space Flying Tiger Drop?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was dope. Okay, I know. That's the thing. That, once again, it's weird since we've been watching all these really good tag matches that are like 4 stars and above, it's like, oh, the thing that usually just tips it over the edge is who's got, like, yeah, they have great matches, but it's like, who's got cool shit?
But, right, and you talk about this a lot with pretty much every team we watch, a team having big match stuff, and that was them busting out their big match stuff, and it was cool.
And yeah, and even, and that's the thing, even Misawa and
Phoenix Splash!
But that's the thing. Misawa and Akiyama also have cool stuff. So that's why, you know, their matches always can get really high because, A, they're amazing storytellers in the ring. But they also have cool stuff.
And they, oh, man, the rope walks, man. the way some of those matches built the rope walk spot, I will tell you right now, though, nobody built the rope walk spot like the Holy Neven Army.
Oh, it was the best because they actually got heat. You know what I mean? That match was great because, okay, that's the thing. I wish – that's the problem. Since I saw the Misawa match first with Akiyama, it was just like, oh, that's the first one. And I was like, oh, that's the best. So I was like, damn it. I wish I was paying attention more to the crowd because the match with the Holy Neven Army, the crowd super hot.
Oh my God, yeah. And they avoid the rope walk so much, and it got me. I started getting giddy. I was like, oh man, when we get the rope walk, it's going to be so good.
And there was some good stuff. Did you see any of the Honda and Izumita?
No, that's probably the one I missed.
Okay, they had a couple with them. I saw the one where Hakushi bled, which was, I think, it was something. He was going for his super chop-chop combo on the dude, and, like, the dude blocked it and then just gave him a headbutt.
And oh, just hard-ways him?
Yeah.
Could go either way.
Well, no. I'm just saying that referee is magic, and there was magic done. It was good magic.
No, I didn't see that one, man. And, like, it was getting down to the wire.
That one made it really good was because that was, quote-unquote, in my say, that was the bloodbath one. Because he gets a good one, and he bleeds all over, and it just adds so much more drama. Because especially because it's Honda and Izumita, who are just short, stocky brick house guys. Like, Honda's an Olympian. Like, he's a Greco-Olympian guy. So, but he's literally short and kind of built stocky and weird. But he can throw a German like nobody's business, like for real reals. And then the other guy's just some short, stocky, you know, just almost like an Ishii guy like that. And yeah, and they bust open Hakushi and they beat him up. That one's really good too.
Man, I wish I watched that one. I like the it sounds good because I love a good clash of styles, you know?
Oh, dude, it's obviously one of the high points of them is I can't really think of another team that I would call quote unquote like a Styles Clash team that always had good matches.
Than this one?
Yeah. Because in watching it, I'm just like, oh, they're the weird X Factor. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you'd think a team that is a team that's predominantly going to be a Styles Clash would have a lot of stinkers. They don't.
So that was a big point I wanted to make. They are like nothing else.
Especially in All Japan.
Right. Especially in All Japan, where it is, you know, in the first, once again, I started Shiga and Kobashi, Holy Demon Army, Misawa Akiyama. Yeah, different. Nobody, get out of my mentions. I understand they're all different. But they're all along the same line. Hakushi and Hayabusa are, compared to those three teams, are on a different planet.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because literally, you know, me being the Hayabusa mark, I know that E.G. Izaki was, you know, just a generic, like he was almost like Marafuji when he started. And it was, you know, just, you know, the young boy in just generic trunks and can do flips and stuff. But he had his crazy journey back and forth to training in Japan, but not quite training and wasting a bunch of time and getting skinny and then coming back and getting a break, blah, blah, blah. But once he put on that mask and those pants and that gimmick and everything and the music, oh, my God. Time out. I want everyone to know that, you know, like when you're bored and you have that random song that always plays in the back of your brain, that white noise song, for me, that. It just plays in my brain forever and ever and ever.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I watched a lot of it with the volume off. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I had to watch the entrance because I was like, oh, yeah, you're damn right they're using Hayabusa's theme because it's amazing. But they once he had that whole gimmick, the entrance, the music, the everything, and the fact that he did every flippy-do. That's why I'll do my rant on why he was Teenage Cheech's favorite wrestler. Because he was made for a teenage attention span. Like, I wasn't watching for work rate when I was 18, 19, 20, 21. I was like, this guy literally, my thing was I liked guys who could do flips, and he did them all. He did 450. He did Phoenix Splash. He did Shooting Star Presses. He did Diving Moonsault. He did all the dives. I had a pool deck that I would literally run and do the diving Hayabusa dive that he did to open in his J-Cup match onto nothing because I was a nut. That's how big a fan I was. But yeah, he's built for any teenage boy to watch who's full of testosterone, especially in 99, 2000, 98, watching ECW. Oh my God. I don't know how you didn't love him.
Yeah, that wasn't, I'm a weirdo, man. I was 14, like, man, Dean Malenko is the guy.
Okay, is it, I've found this more and more the more I talk to wrestlers, is it just you like whoever is closest to what you can do?
Probably, yeah.
Because me, as a 18-year-old kid going into pools and diving boards, my goal was, I was like, if I ever wrestle, I want to be able to do everything. And then all of a sudden, here comes this guy in big baggy pants who can do every flip. And I was just like, I want to be this guy. You don't know how many times they did Phoenix Splashes into pools for 50 shooting stars. I did them all.
But I was incapable of all of that. So while I enjoyed watching other people.
I wanted to be able to do all the flips. So I was like, oh my God, this guy does all the flips. He's my favorite. You didn't like the flips, of, you know, because you couldn't do flips.
I appreciated them. But when it came down to it, when I was like, oh, man, what am I gonna like? What do I like most attached to? Like, I love Takamichi Noku because he was small and he could kind of fly around, but he wasn't doing nothing overly nuts.
Oh no! Young Cheech wanted to do 450s, Phoenix Splashes, and Shooting Star Presses all the live long day.
I'm more of a Hakushi guy. It's so funny because like. On paper, when staring at it, you know, thinking about this team, you're like, oh, a couple high flyers, you know, because WWF had Jinsei Shizaki as this high flyer in the early mid 90s there during his run. And you watch him, other than that, that Sasuke he don't do nothing. He drops a knee drop and a headbutt.
Exactly. That's the crazy part. Other than the fact that he was doing the craziest dive at the time, he wasn't really a high flyer. But he could do the most amazing dive you'd ever seen in 1996, especially in WWF.
So, and here's, since we're talking WWF a little bit, do you think that's where he gets the build from? Do you think that's where that comes from?
What do you mean?
His, like, how he builds to his stuff.
A little bit, yes. I think the reason he fit in WWF was because he kind of was already doing that.
Okay, okay. Yeah, because I, when I would watch him, you know, it's glaringly obvious that he's got a little more polish. And I was like, is that because he's already been to WWF at the time and he's already, you know.
No, okay, maybe this is a weird comparison. I think we're sort of brainwashed right now to think working at a methodical pace means you're really good. So he was basically Randy Orton before Randy Orton, but that was his gimmick, though. Like, yeah. He was a stoic, slow Buddhist man.
But so, it's not even that. Like, he just seemed to have this understanding that, you know, sometimes other people didn't seem to, that the shoulder tackle's better when you build to the shoulder, just hitting the shoulder tackle.
Yes, I think it was a little bit of both. I think he was naturally working slow and methodical because of his gimmick. But yeah, I also think he probably learned how to build things to being in WWF.
Yeah, they're such an interesting team, because they are one of, and we run into this a lot. They are very similar, but so different.
Yeah, that's the thing. In my head, I was like, I was trying to figure out what kind of comparison, because I was like, they were their quote unquote indie darlings of Japan, but they were also like, you could also categorize them as gimmicks. You know what I mean? It was the mask guy from FMW and the guy who does the Buddhist gimmick, who does the slow prayer stuff from Michinoku Pro. Like, you know what I mean? It was two highly regarded indies at that time. I didn't want to say like weird gimmicky indie mega powers, but something in that vein, or maybe like Rock and Sock, but they ended up being less of like a straight up tag team and more of like a mega team of two big baby faces or two big over entities on the independent scene of Japan.
You know who they were?
Who were they?
Rob Van Dam and Sabu.
Oh, of course, obviously. I know, there's that comparison as well.
They're literally RVD and Sabu, which is why them wrestling each other is so perfect.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think, I don't know, do you consider a stoner and a Buddhist the same thing?
No.
I guess they're, you know.
No, I think Sabu had elements of Jinsei Shinzaki with his, like, you know, kind of pointing at the sky, slow, whatever, and then the wild, crazy, do all the stuff of Hayabusa, and then, you know, what I'm, like, they had elements of both of them in them, but also, remember, Rob Van Dam and Sabu, they weren't just a traditional team, they were two hot baby faces at the time who got teamed up and became a thing.
Okay, no. It's definitely an apt comparison, but I will tell you this. Next show we're on with Sabu, tell him that you think he had some elements of Hayabusa, and then I'll watch him proceed to stab you, because he did not like that young boy, E.G. Izaki, was like, oh, I like all your moves. Can I do all your moves? And he was like, yeah, sure, whatever, young guy. And then he's like, oh, you become the biggest star doing all my stuff. Oh, yeah. Sabu for a minute there did not like Hayabusa because he's like, the kid just stole all my shit.
Listen, Hayabusa is gone now. Sabu needs to get over it.
No, I know, but he definitely has a point. Like, there's definitely like truth to the thing that he was a young boy when Sabu first broke in Japan and stuff, and definitely patterned his style after him. Like, he would even say it.
Sure, but good for him. I don't know. It worked.
No. It's just funny when you're like, oh, they've got shades of each other. It's like, oh, no. Technically, Hayabusa got his stuff. He was stealing from Sabu.
Sure, and I wasn't really a big Sabu guy growing up either. I don't know. I liked my wrestling more direct. Like I had nothing against watching the crazy wild car crash. You know, I'd like to watch it, but as a kid who always wanted to be a wrestler, I would always more focus on the more direct approach to wrestling.
Oh yeah, no, trust me. I also liked my Brad Armstrongs and Flying Bryans too. But I'm just saying, as a teenager, when I was a senior in high school, I would have been a sophomore in high school when like Heatwave 98 is going on. Like I was all about just crazy 450 splashes through tables and all that stuff.
Hakushi has a very easy. I just because you said Flying Bryan, he would have ruled if he was like around 5 years sooner the WCW.
Either that or if he came along later, because here's the thing, he's beefier than you think. Like you think he's a Japanese guy, so you think he's, and yes, he can fly, but he's not a small man.
No, but he's very Flying Bryan. He does a top rope shoulder tackle and a top rope headbutt, and you know he walks the ropes. But other than that, you know, that's it really. He doesn't. He's an early WCW cruiserweight.
See, that's the thing. I wouldn't want him to be a cruiserweight. I oddly like him being I like him as a heavyweight.
Yeah, I could see that. He's a heavyweight who can do that bonkers dive for the mid-90s.
Yeah, and then, you know, I mean, I enjoy his Vader splash. I've definitely, the Vader bomb in the corner, I've definitely taken that a couple of times. That's heavy in my bar match rotation.
Body slam, big, tall. And it's a big one, too. Like, not for nothing. His Vader bomb is it's one of those deals where, like, it's not a throwaway move. It looks impactful. He gets some height, and he comes down hard.
Yeah, and you know what else he does? In big matches, he'll do the stomp instead. And I was like, oh, snap! I never seen him do it. And he did it in one, I think it was in the FMW match, one of them. And I was like, oh, snap!
What was I going to say? Oh, also, Shinsei Shinzaki may have one of the best Pele kicks I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, brother, I was going to say, I'm glad you brought it up. I was going to say, screw everybody. Sorry, AJ Styles. Your shit's nice, but once again, you're a small boy. This is a big man throwing that.
And he throws it with precision. It looks – so a lot of times when people do a Pele kick, it is them backflipping and feet coming towards the head, and hopefully they hit what they're going for. Not him. It is it's pretty much a backflip, and he kicks the crap out of people.
Yes. Which, it totally does. And it's great. And I loved it when he would do it in All Japan because, once again, it felt like that's not a traditional move by any means being done in maybe one of the most traditional companies at the time. Which brings me to, did you find it weird? Like, in your brain, what was the rationale behind them being in All Japan? You said you just thought it was a working relationship thing?
Yes. I don't really know.
Okay, no, because I know there's a reason, and yes, it's a little bit of that, but it's also, I can't remember if it was Misawa or if it was Baba just befriended Hayabusa. Like, it may have been Misawa, but, like, they were known to be, like, they were in different companies, but they would have, like, beers together randomly. And that's how that kind of got into it. But I can't remember if it was him and Baba who were doing it or it was him and Misawa. He somehow befriended one of those guys, and that's how he kind of got in, because obviously he was a superstar in FMW.
I looked into the Wikipedia on Shinsei Shinzaki, and I mean, his is very random. It's like, oh, he started in the Lucha thing with Hamada and then went to Michinoku Pro and then all of a sudden is in WWF. And then comes back and is still doing Michinoku Pro, but then kind of gets into FMW, and then this All Japan thing kind of pops up. He had a weird New Japan, like his, it's very jumbled, and there's like weird, like half facts in the media.
He's a mysterious man. He's a mysterious man. Because, yeah, even I remember the New Japan stuff. Because, yeah, it basically built to him and Muda having a feud. Because that's the thing. Once again, he's a great wrestler. But, like, you definitely look at him and go, oh, he's a gimmick wrestler. But, like, not in, like, oh, he's not like Doink the Clown where you got to do weird, dumb stuff. It's like, oh, no, no. He's just going to work slow. Almost it's a little Undertaker. Like, he's going to be slow and methodical. But, like, and there's an aura to him. But, that, like, that's the gimmick. He has an aura.
Yeah. So it was, and because he has that aura, him was almost just perfect, you know, because he could kind of do his thing. There were times, man, I think it's the Holy Demon Army match where he goes for the rope walk for like the second, maybe even the third time, and it gets stopped by Kawada. He gets in the ring. He's got this look on his face. And he just walks over to his corner and tags out. And I was like, man, nothing is tougher than that right now.
Dude, there was some good stuff. One of the things I really like, tell me if you noticed this, and we're probably going to steal this. How, if Hayabusa was getting his butt kicked too much, Hakushi had no problem just springboarding in and just chopping the partner just to help his guy out for a second. I was like, that's so cool. And it totally makes sense. Like, why, you know what I mean?
Both guys do it, like, especially if, like, somebody has, say, Jinsei Shinzaki between their legs, like, they're going to do powerbomb, and Hayabusa's like, yep, screw it, springboarding in.
Yeah, question, in all these matches that you watched, did you ever see Hayabusa step between the ropes?
Ooh, excellent question, and I have no idea.
Like, he stepped through the ropes if he was throwing you in from a dive, but if you tagged him in, I shit you not, in my brain, at least 99%, he was going to springboard into something.
Right, or at least like half a springboard, like a little
shot.
Pop up to the top.
He would do a lot of slingshots and everything. I was like, yo, I noticed it right away, and I made sure to look. I was like, I don't think I ever just see him get tagged in and just step between the ropes. I don't know if that's him just being like, in my head, that's like, what is he, some sort of backyard guy? What, does he not know how to work? Or is he be like, no, that's my gimmick. I'm the ultimate high flyer. If I ever get tagged in, I'm obviously coming off the top rope. I was like, is he a genius or is he a dummy? I don't know.
Okay, so we're already running hot and running long. I want to know about your Rob Van Dam and Sabu match with fresh eyes.
Oh, so initially, as a young kid, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Then you watch it years later and you're like, oh, it's so bad. And this one, I was like, do I revisit? I go, I think I need to now, looking at it from their perspective. But I looked beforehand. Okay, yeah, it's a bad match. I don't think it's a 2-star match. When I saw it only got 2 stars, I was like, oh, hold on. I don't know if it's that bad. Let me rewatch. And I rewatched and I was like, it was the exact same criticisms. It was, It seemed like it was, where is it? Oh, the language barrier, bad transitions, and I think there might have been a little egos involved. But other than that, I think it's a really good 2-star match.
So I remember, so I've never liked that match a day in my life. I'm a weird anomaly, never liked it. But when we did Rob Van Dam and Sabu, I think it was the first time that I watched it in this fashion, in this style, and on a level of Rob Van Dam and Sabu matches, it is kind of fun. And I remember it having a structure to it. Like, well, it was a bit messy at times. The structure made it fun, at least.
Oh, that's the thing. You can see their intentions. Like, they had it seemed there was a good match called, but it just seemed like, oh, yeah, we'll be fine. We're all good, 4 good wrestlers. Let's just go out there. And it's just like, I don't know. It just seemed like they got out there and there was definitely a little bit of a, not even necessarily a language barrier, maybe a style barrier where, you know, even as chaotic as Rob and Sabu were, they were still maybe a little more American and they were a little more Japanese style. And they were, like I said, it was just a lot of bad transitions.
Oh, Rob Van Dam and I never want to watch Rob Van Dam and Hayabusa touch each other ever again. That was like, they were the worst together.
Yeah, that was one of those odd things where you'd be like, oh my God, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. And you're like, oh no, they're oil and vinegar.
Oh, whoops. But yeah, okay. So let's get into it. So what made Jinsei Shinzaki and Hayabusa so great?
Like I said, I kind of spoiled it earlier. They are they're a styles clash of a team that always has a good match, and that's not normal by any means. When you think of styles clash teams, you're thinking of like Cactus Jack and Abdullah, and you're like, oh boy, like maybe it'll be good if everybody brawls great. This they're that kind of, maybe not that level of styles clash, but still, you go in there, especially in All Japan, you're like, this is a styles clash, but it worked every time.
Right. So yeah, that's what I was gonna get to too. They are so different from everything they were going against at the time. They were coming through this era where there wasn't really a team like them going then. And I, you know, I'm not like them ever. So to see how different they were from everything going on around them, yet they could still have a great match. You know, they were both great. They're both great wrestlers. It, you know, it's not surprising, but to a degree it was surprising because it easily could have gone the other way in every one of those matches.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I just felt like, once again, them being gimmicks per se in All Japan, which is a place of few, if any, gimmicks. It's usually just what the guy is, and like what you know, like Tamon Honda, like, oh, he was in the Olympics, so of course he's ultimately believable. Whereas these two guys, you're like, it's a skinny guy in a mask, but like, oh my god, he's doing the craziest moves in the world. And then there's this other guy who's moving really slow and deliberately, but is just a brick shithouse and literally can fly, does backflip kicks, does the craziest dive of the times, and does some hellish power bombs on some dudes. Like, he can do it all. It exposed how good he was. That's why I found, like, in All Japan, when you're with the cream of the crop, Hakushi, like you said, definitely rose above, because once again, all his stuff was just so crazy. No one was doing rope walk stuff other than what? Undertaker, but he wasn't doing it fast and cool like he was. No one was doing that crazy dive. And that was only to compliment being next to the guy who was known for doing all the crazy dives and flips.
Yeah. That double team false they would do all the time with what was it? The
board swanton to springboard knee to springboard lion salt, and then in the big match went right to Hakushi coming off with the head drop.
Yes, but man. Off the top. Oh, and then in that big match they also followed it up with a dope super kick German combo, because not for nothing, Hayabusa threw a dirty German suplex.
Oh yeah, he had a hellish bridge. His bridge was awesome.
Yeah, nasty. Sorry, I'm talking about what makes them great, but yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. A good bridge makes you great.
Yeah. Man, that was a nasty. He did really have a nasty bridge.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how we possibly universe defeat the team of Hayabusa and Hakushi.
Okay. My thought was, we either go with their formula of we beat on Hayabusa, but we gotta steal the Tanaka Karuta method of somehow we have to take out Hakushi, but like take him out. Or my other idea was flip it. We try and just slowly just grind down Hakushi and put all the pressure on Hayabusa to have to win. Cause he's got the coolest moves, but I don't think he has the most firepower. I think that's why they did so well, is because usually he got beat up, but then here comes that brick shithouse. Hakushi would just come in and either flip on you or powerbomb the hell out of you.
So that's what I was going to say. I think we make Hayabusa beat us because while it is possible, for sure, he could beat us, he could also beat himself with his wacky craziness. So if we can somehow get Hakushi off the board, I think Hayabusa is more likely to make a mistake and beat himself and let us take advantage of the mistake than the deliberate always builds to his stuff perfectly. Hakushi.
Okay, I agree. Then, yeah, I was saying we either work towards their formula and try and do it better than others, or flip it on its head. I'm okay with flipping it on its head. Because, yeah, like I said, Hayabusa got the cool moves, but not as much firepower. And, yeah, he's crazy. He might flip and, you know, kill his own self.
And if we're wrestling them in all Japan and we beat down Hakushi, smooth sailing. FMW, I'm not sure I want to touch Hayabusa. We'd have to throw him off a building to, because he's just hotter than hot in all those FMW matches. So I'm assuming we're wrestling them in an All Japan Tag League.
Yeah, that'd be our only chance. If we wrestle them in FMW, it's basically wrestling a zombie.
I don't know what we're doing. There's Hayabusa everywhere else, and there's Hayabusa in FMW, and they are totally different people.
Or we rip off his mask, which usually makes him cry, and then that takes him out. Or maybe we try and phase H when he was without his mask and he was an acid-washed little Daisy Dukes. Maybe we could beat that version of him.
I remember that. Vaguely, I remember that.
Oh, I remember. I didn't... Young Cheech wasn't too hot on it. He liked the mask after he spent like $120 on one.
Wow. All right. That was it. That's all we do, right? We beat them and then we finish.
Yeah, and then we party, and then like him and either Bob or Masao, we go out for a couple beers afterwards. We have a good time. We celebrate, you know, beating, you know, two of the craziest. Like, if you think about it, I don't know. Maybe this is me being crazy. Okay, we'll say they're in the Hall of Fame of Japanese indie guys. I won't go Mount Rushmore. That might be a little too crazy. We'll say they're definitely in the Hall of Fame.
Man, yeah, that's a. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but they definitely. You could definitely make an argument on that Hall of Fame, or on.
Yeah, and once again, like I said, if you're anyone near our age or you were big in the ECW around 98, this team came along and totally blew your minds. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but I definitely feel like they blew people's minds and definitely made people like me go out and buy tapes from them.
And if you've never watched, I know Cheech hates on it because it's got that Misawa dust on it, but if you've never seen Misawa Akiyama against Hayabusa and Shinzaki, go give it a watch, because I think it's my first time watching it, and it was very enjoyable.
Oh, no, it's great. Here's the thing. I'm a big Akiyama fan, so I'm okay with it. Definitely go watch it. But also check out the Team No Fear. Check out them versus the Holy Demon Army. Check them all out. Like, we've all seen the ECW match. I don't know if you know this, guys. They wrestled RVD and Sabu in ECW.
And if you got the new Blackjacks match, holla at me.
Yes. Please hit us up if somehow you have a fan cam
of them against Bradshaw and Barry Windham from 1999 in All Japan. If you got that footage, I'm looking for it. So that's it, man. That's it. Another one down, another team down. So next week we do Batista and Flair.
Oh, or wait, who is it? The Street Profits?
Next week we do the Street Profits.
Nothing against them. They'll get there eventually, but I'm just saying, the top 50 so quickly. Wowee, wow, wow, wow. But I don't know. Maybe we're off the embargo. Maybe we do find a team on their list next time. I don't know. We won't necessarily. We're not going out of our way not to pick someone from the list. We'll try and pick a team organically. If they're on the list, they're on the list. If they're not, they're not.
Yeah, I agree. And now that we've opened it up to doing professional wrestlers for the second time, way more wide open. Picking around teams with guys who we've already done was difficult for a while.
Yeah, it definitely was. But now things are opened up. We made it to my mythical 1 year mile marker, and yeah, now we can do some double dipping.
We can double dip. We're wide open. We were just in Japan in the 90s, so that pretty much opens us to anything next week. I've got some thoughts. I've got some ideas. So we will discuss, and we will see you next week with whatever team we decide.
Adios.